Well, good morning, church. It is great to be with you on this Sunday before Christmas. And Lynn made me make a promise that I would not do anything on Christmas Eve this year. And so after 40 plus years, we are going to be in pajamas all day, she said, for Christmas Eve. But it's a joyful time of the year for us, and it's an honor to be here with you today. Last Sunday, we were with our grandkids in Fort Mill for their church Christmas program. It was a great event. And you know how you have grandkids, they climb all over you and they love on you, and you know, you kind of hold back a little bit because it's time of year. And sure enough, we get home on Monday, or we get home Sunday night, and Monday morning we get a text from our son that they both have type A flu and strep throat. And so we went through that, you know, waiting period, you know, anticipation, are we getting this? And thanks be to God, we missed it. So it's a joyful time for us. And we're in the middle of this sermon series, The Joy of Christmas. We've talked about anticipation, watching the kids in and out today, the anticipation of Christmas morning, the anticipation for the church as we anticipate celebrating the birth of Christ. We had a weekend, we talked about exaltation, wonderful music from our choirs and from our worship teams. Then last week, a great message on invitation. And today I get to speak on revelation. And divine revelation is a huge part of the first Christmas. And so if you're able, I want to read to you today one of many texts. The one I'm going to read now is from Luke chapter 1. It's a very familiar passage. If you're able to stand, let me read it to you this morning. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what this angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He'll be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Gracious God, we ask you to help us today to understand what all this means. Perhaps it's confusing to hear the words like incarnation and the virgin birth and all the doctrinal aspects of the Christmas revelation. But Father, I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you'll bring clarity. You'll take away any confusion, any fear, any anxiety, and you'll give us the joy of revelation, the joy of knowing your love and your message for all of us. And may you be glorified in all of this. And we ask all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Now, when Mary receives this unexpected visit and this announcement, this revelation, it had been over 400 years since the Old Testament prophets had said there would be a Messiah. They must have grown weary waiting, right? These Israelites, 400 plus years of silence. Many had probably given up hope. So some wondered if the Messiah was a scam. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you recently have been scammed online trying to buy a Christmas present? Anybody here? So one of my traditions that Lynn and I began years and years ago was when our grandkids would spend the night with us, and it started when Harper Grace was living with us, is that I would tell them a bedtime story, and still do tell them a bedtime story, and they are the hero of the story. And so I would, for example, say there is a princess who has blonde hair and bluish green eyes, and her name is, and they would always fill in the blank, Harper. So yeah, Harper. And I'd paint this narrative of them being a hero of saving the day, helping their friends, rescue someone. And so just been a tradition we've done through the years. And I was, you know, Instagram or online somewhere, and I saw this advertisement, right? for this book called Tell My Tale, and it looks like this. It's great. You send a picture of the child in or your grandchild, and they superimpose them in the book, and the book is about them, right? And they're the hero of the book. I thought, this is the greatest gift ever. So I bit, I bought six of them. I told my kids, hey, don't let our grandkids watch today because I'm going to tell one of their presents. Well, maybe one of their presents. Anyway, so I ordered it, got the receipt, you know, I was so excited. I got a preview, you know, they previewed the book. It was incredible. I was showing it off to people. This is the greatest gift ever. And then all of a sudden, the preview went away. It was gone. Didn't hear anything from the company. You know, they're ghosting me, you know. I'm getting nervous. I'm anxious. I'm waiting, anticipating. This is the greatest gift ever. And so I emailed them, right? Emailed them, and nothing, no response. And I called them out. I said, this is a scam. Y'all just scammed me. You know, I got six different disappointed grandkids here, you know. And I go on with it. And finally, 3:00 in the morning last week, I get an email from all places, Israel, right? Get an email from Israel. And it says, this is not a scam. The gifts are coming. And so then I began to track him, right, on Shop App, right? You got one of those Shop Apps, you know? And they eventually arrived in Utah. They were in Salt Lake City. I'm going, oh, this is Israel. This is good. And then earlier this week, they arrived in Rock Hill. And yesterday, they arrived in Columbia. And they're supposed to be here tomorrow. You know, that's right. Mum's the word, right? Mum's the word. But can't you imagine that's exactly how Mary and Joseph might have felt when they hear this story? Waiting 400 years. And I love Joseph's story. You know, Joseph was a righteous man, the scripture says. He sees that his engaged bride is now pregnant. He was a righteous man. He did not want to disgrace her. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. But then in a dream, the angel comes to Joseph and says, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. And he will save his people from their sins. Powerful revelation for Joseph, for Mary, after all these years of waiting. Now, some of you may have had one of these, or you've been to one, or you've seen, you know, accounts of them online, a gender reveal party, right? The blue smoke bombs at the beach or at the lake, race cars that blow pink exhaust when the engine's revved, exploding golf balls, baseballs, fireworks. And, you know, it's kind of a relatively new thing. We didn't do that when our kids or grandkids were born. But you got to admit today, after reading the scriptures this morning, that God's big reveal sets a high bar, right? I mean, he sends angels into the dreams, into their rooms. He doesn't come with blue or pink smoke, but the angel comes in the glory of the Lord. Not just any angel, but the angel Gabriel comes to Mary while she's awake and she's afraid of this revelation. But hear this about God's revelation. He says to Mary, God has favored you. I want all of you to hear that, because if you're listening today to God's revelation, he has found favor in you. God wants to bless you. God wants to give you life and life abundant. And a love that will forever shape the future of the world. We don't know the name of the angel that came to Joseph, but we assume it's Gabriel. And then if that reveal is not big enough, then you have the big outdoor reveal, right? In Luke chapter 2, there were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them, and they were terribly afraid. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I'm here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town, your Savior was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great army of heaven's angels appeared with the angel, singing praises to God. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased. Now the joy of Christmas, the joy of revelation, began in heaven and spilled over onto the earth. And it wasn't revealed through an ultrasound. It was revealed through the ultimate revelation of God in the birth of his son, Jesus Christ, with singing and rejoicing. You know, reveals are meant to fill us with hope. Reveals are meant to fill us with expectation and joy, to prepare our hearts, our lives, our homes, our world for new life is on the way. Maybe a boy, maybe a girl. You know, this is a special week for Lynn and I. We celebrated Thursday night our 48th wedding anniversary, and then we have Christmas. You can, thank you. Lynn will appreciate that applause. So anniversary, Christmas, and then on the 27th is Lynn's birthday. No pressure on the shopping, but it's all good. But so it's a big time for us. But in remembering Lynn's arrival upon the earth, her mom goes to the hospital, right? Very pregnant, and goes in. This is pre-ultrasounds, right? Don't have ultrasounds in those days. And the first baby comes, and it's Gwen. And then the doctor says to Lois, "Hey, I got a big reveal for you. There's another one," you know? And sure enough, thanks be to God, my wife was born, and unexpected, unknown. And you talk about a big reveal when the doctor went out and told her dad, "Hey, you got two children." The good news was he said, "I'm going to give you the second one for free," you know? So with that said, reveal is preparation. And these reveals that we do today, you know, they reveal gender. But the big reveal that God gave of Revelation not only gave gender, he's going to be a boy, but also gave his name. His name will be Jesus, which means Jehovah saves. The gender reveal gave a title. He will be the Son of the Most High God. Not only your son, Mary, but also the Son of the Most High God. And Mary, by the way, he'll have your DNA, but also the full divine DNA of his Heavenly Father. And guess what? Here's what he's going to do. He's going to save the people from their sins. It'll be a time of great rejoicing, for salvation has come. That's a pretty big reveal. You get gender, name, title, and purpose. And these angels are the revealers. They're not the revelation. They are revealing that Jesus is the revelation. The angels are the messengers, and Jesus is the Messiah. So when we think about the word revelation, what does it mean in the Bible? Revelation means to unveil. It means to make known. It's when God explains himself. It's when God explains his purpose. And a lot of people, maybe you're here today listening online, or and you say, "I don't understand God." Well, God has revealed himself. God has explained himself. And God is saying in this revelation here that we're looking at today, "I see you people. I love you. I am for you. I am with you. I will use you. And if you believe in me and receive me, I will save you." That's a pretty good revelation of what God wants you to know about him. "I love you. I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you." Now, there's many ways throughout history that God has revealed himself to us. You say, "I haven't heard anything from God." Well, God is in the revealing business. I want to give you several thoughts on this morning. The first is that God reveals himself in the joy of general revelation, universal revelation. What does that mean? It means that God has universally made himself known to all people, in all places, in all times. You say, "Well, how's he done that?" Well, two ways. First is creation. Creation is the external witness of God's invisible qualities and his divine nature. The fact that you're here today, I'm here today, means the sun came up today. And the sun comes up every day. And it warms the planet and it warms us. And it reveals God's love and God's power and God's sovereignty. Through the beauty and the order of the creation, the fact that you're sitting in a chair and not drifting in gravity, free gravity, and I'm standing here and not floating above you somewhere, is a sign that God is in control. And God has order, and we can depend upon God, and God is with us every second of every day because he's still in charge. And the Bible says in the book of Romans that since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his external power, his eternal power, have been clearly seen so that men and women are without excuse. Do you hear that? The Bible says that God has revealed himself in creation. It's not by chance that we're spinning today on a globe with all those thousands of miles of revolution, creation. But God has also given a general revelation to all of us in our conscience. We have an external revelation. There's also an internal witness from God. I love what Dr. Tim Tennant says. He says, even though there are areas where people differ about what is right or wrong, the very presence of categories of right and wrong demonstrate that we live in a moral order. There is morality in our world, though sometimes morality that we might not agree with, but there is a sense of right and wrong, and that is because we're wired in the image of God. Ecclesiastes 3 says it this way, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. Now, our conscience has been described as a warning light for our souls. And everyone listening to me today, your conscience, which I believe is part of God's created order and God's revelation, has given you warnings. Do not go there. Do not do that. Stop what you're doing. A warning light. A warning light in our minds. It's just like those warning lights in your car, right? Or your truck, and it lights up, and it's a warning that you need to go get something done. And if you ignore that light, it's at your own risk. The fuel light comes on. It's warning you, you better go get fuel. There are some of you today that in your conscience, God is warning you, you need to get back into the Word of God. God is warning you, you need to get back into prayer. You haven't met with me and a warning light's going off. In the same way, if we ignore the warning light in our mind, in our hearts, from the conscience that God has put within us, it can be dangerous. In fact, if we remain in persistent and intentional sin, that warning light begins to dim in our lives. And our hearts can become hardened from hearing the message and the revelation of God. You know, and the Bible says that through the revelation of God in creation and the revelation of God in conscience, external, internal witness, that we are responsible for that revelation. We're responsible for the revelation we have received. All of us are responsible. I love what musician Michael Card said. In China, he says, I've talked to people who have never heard of Christianity, never heard of Jesus, never heard a single word from the Bible, yet through nature and their God-given conscience, many believed in God. Not only that God existed, but they had derived some understanding about his loving character because he had provided food and water and a beautiful world. And one older Chinese woman told him, I have known him for years. I just didn't know his name was Jesus. See, God reveals himself in creation, in our conscience. But also there is the joy of a special revelation. A special revelation refers to the ways that God has made himself known in specific times to certain people in specific locations. And two of the ways that happens is, number one, God has revealed himself in specific times to specific people through the Word of God. He has given us his Word as revelation. And for in John chapter 1, it says, the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God is the revelation. In the Old Testament, we read about God's mercy. We read about God's love, God's grace, God's justice, God's judgment. But also the second special revelation is what we read about today, is the revelation of God's Son, Jesus. That God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that the Word became flesh, and Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God. And that's what Christmas is really about. Bottom line, it's about God sending himself into the world to reveal himself. In the incarnation, we begin to understand who God is. We learn of his love and desire to save us. Jesus, the ultimate revelation. Hebrews 1 says it this way, long ago, God spoke to our early fathers in many different ways. He spoke through the early preachers or the prophets, But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God gave his Son everything. It was by his Son that God made the world. The Son shines with the shining greatness of the Father. The Son is as God is in every way. It is the Son who holds up the whole world by the power of his word. The Son gave his own life so we could be clean from all sin. And after he had done that, he sat down on the right side of God in heaven. The revelation of Jesus Christ and the incarnation of God in the flesh makes Christianity unique. I was reading earlier this week that one of Islam's greatest theologians, Al-Ghazali, declares that Allah does not reveal himself. Allah only reveals his will. But in Jesus Christ, we discover that God reveals his will, but Allah also reveals himself so that we can know him, so that we can have a personal relationship with him. And so how do we experience the joy of revelation? I believe we experience the joy of revelation today when the Holy Spirit uses Scripture to illuminate us and to inspire us. Illumination and inspiration. When you read the Word of God and you've read a passage and all of a sudden it just jumps off the page at you, or you get a devotion, you know, from an email and God's Word just jumps off the page at you. It inspires you. It illuminates God's path and purpose for your life. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand truth as revealed in Scripture. Now, does God still speak through dreams? Does God still speak through visions? Does God still send angels? Does God still speak through people? Yes. And many of you can testify to those experiences, but hear this. Those dreams, those visions, those angels, those people, if they're from God, will never contradict Holy Scripture. They will never lead you or suggest anything that contradicts what is in God's Word. You know, when we are inspired by the Holy Spirit, when we are illuminated by the Holy Spirit, we understand that God is putting us in harmony with the witness of God through the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Scriptures, through the church for the last 2,000 years. And scriptural authority is greater than our experiences, it's greater than our feelings, it's greater than our opinions. And I want you to hear this. The Holy Spirit does not bring new revelations, does not bring private messages, secret insights, or mystical doctrines that God supposedly forgot to include in Scripture. The Holy Spirit never contradicts or adds to what Christ has spoken. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to illuminate, not innovate. And we are called to honor God and protect his revelation. We are to guard how we celebrate Christmas. We must not fall for the trap of commercializing the revelation, but keep Jesus as the reason for the season. And how do we do that? We follow the example of Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. We stay humble. We acknowledge that we need the revelation of God in our life. We remain open, eyes to see and ears to hear. We must be obedient when God speaks to us in Scripture, when God speaks to us through a sermon, through a song. Mary was obedient. Thanks be to God, right? Joseph was obedient. Thanks be to God. The shepherds were obedient. Thanks be to God. The 12 disciples were obedient. Thanks be to God. I love the prayer that Mary prayed when the angel had spoken to her. And it needs to be our prayer if we want to experience the real joy of the revelation, is let it be done to me according to your word. Let it be done to me according to your word. You know, many of you, all of you, I think it's safe to say, have heard of the story of Jesus' birth. You've heard about the revelation, but hear this. The joy of revelation is relevant because of the resurrection. The resurrection and the birth of Jesus are crucial. Again, I read in Hebrews 1, the Son gave his own life so we could be clean from all sin. After he had done that, he sat down on the right side of God in heaven. Christmas is meaningless without Easter, and Easter is meaningless without Christmas. And the resurrection confirms that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Without Easter, Jesus would have been a victim of sin. Instead, he is victorious over sin. I love what Billy Graham said. He said, you can sum up the revelation of God in three words, in three truths. One is cradle, second is cross, and third is crown. There was a cradle where God entered into the earth in the form of a baby. There was a cross that baby grew up at the age of 33 and went and died for the sins of the world, paid my penalty, your penalty for our sins. But on the third day, he rose again, is seated at the right hand of the Father with a crown on his head. Cradle, cross, and crown. With this incredible revelation, with this incredible good news, why do so many people miss the joy of revelation? Why do people refuse the revelation that comes from God? Why do people resist God's revelation? Why do people reject the joy of Christmas? Now, make no mistake that we are in a spiritual battle. The evil one is trying to hijack Christmas, trying to hijack the two most holy days for Christians, which is what? Christmas and Easter. To rob those days of their meaning. We are in a battle for God's revelation in this culture. And I love how the Message paraphrases Jesus' words from John 3. I want to read them to you. It really captures why so many people miss the joy of revelation. This is the crisis we're in. God light streamed into the world, but men and women everywhere ran for the darkness. They went for the darkness because they were not really interested in pleasing God. Everyone who makes a practice of doing evil, addicted to denial and illusion, it hates God's light and won't come near it, fearing a painful exposure. But anyone working and living in truth and reality welcomes God's light so the work can be seen for God, for the God work it is. So why do so many people miss the joy of revelation? Because we love sin. The Bible says that sin is fun for a season. But that warning light keeps going off. It keeps blinking. We love sin. I think sometimes we miss the joy of revelation because we let shame consume us. I've messed up so bad that the evil one takes shame and paints us into a corner. There's a lack of understanding for some. There's a lack of courage to stand up for the truth, to make Christmas what it's supposed to be about. A lack of courage, a lack of conviction. I would hope that all of us would make sure that at Christmas, before we open any presents, that we talk about Jesus. We talk about the cradle, talk about the cross, talk about the crown. Because that's what it's all about. Now, people miss Christmas because we don't have the courage or the conviction to speak up. I got to tell my little grandson, Hudson, about the nativity set the other day. And he sat there and like a sponge and soaked it all in. We need to make sure we don't leave Jesus out of the Christmas. And then if we do conclude him, joy will be in our hearts and our lives. You know, the longer we live in darkness, the longer we remain in darkness, the more the lies we hear seem true. And we will never know how dark it is in our lives until we invite the light of Jesus in. And as you've heard people, their testimony, I can't believe I was so blind. I can't believe I was so wrong. I can't believe I was so messed up. I can't believe I was so confused. Jesus came to dispel the darkness and provide illumination through revelation. Now the joy of revelation becomes real in us when we respond. And that's the bottom line is, I'm preaching today, Bill's preaching today, so that you can receive an invitation to respond to God's revelation. Mary said yes. Joseph went on with the engagement and the marriage. The shepherds went to the manger, and you and I are invited to respond to the joy of salvation. Today, I want to invite you to give Jesus your heart. I want to invite you to give Jesus your worship. Invite you to give Jesus your service. That's why he came, to be in our lives. I love how the small book of Titus, chapter 3, sums up really the whole narrative. I want to read it to you. But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, given us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. You know, Christmas, friends, is not just some sentimental holiday. It's an intentional revelation. It's an intentional gift from God. Why? Why? Because you can't save yourself. He came to save us. Now, again, as I said earlier, most of you listening today know the story, but do you know the Savior? Do your children know the story, or do they know the Savior? Maybe you think it's too late for you to know the Savior. Maybe you feel like you've messed up, you've failed. But he saves us not because of the righteous things we've done, but because of his mercy, because of his grace. You know, when I was a junior in college and was going into my second semester, I had dreams and plans for my life and God's calling on my life. And Lynn and I had been dating, and we were going to get engaged that summer and get married in December of that, between the semesters of my senior year. And I was struggling really hard with my main course in my major, sociological theory. And I was struggling because we were traveling a lot. Our senior group was traveling and speaking. And I was not going to class like I should. I wasn't doing the homework I should have been doing. I'm confessing that to all of you young people here today. And I was failing the class. There was no way I was going to pass this class. And I'd give my ministry team, and they'd pray over me, you know, and they'd pray, Lord, just help Jeff to get through this class. And Lord, help him, just give him incredible memory and be able to do all this. And I would say to them, you know, I messed up. You know, God's not going to come in and rescue me. I messed up. Well, lo and behold, near the end of that semester, I get mono, right? So I get mono, and I got to take an incomplete in all my classes. And then I go to Conway, to Lynn's area for the summer. I get a job as a youth pastor with mono. That was probably pretty smart. But I get a job, and all summer long, I'm just dreading going back to school because I got to face failure of this class that I got to have to graduate, to go to seminary, to get married, et cetera, right? My friends prayed all summer. Lynn prayed all summer, and I just worried all summer, right? And I get back to school, and I go, I'm full of trepidation. I go to the office of my professor to go do whatever I got to do. And there's a sign on the door. And the sign says, Dr. So-and-so has resigned from his position, has taken a new position at another university, and all of his students pass. I'm going, the joy of revelation has hit me. You know, it's a miracle. You know, did I deserve it? Absolutely not. Was it a free gift? It was incredible. And the rest is history, right? I passed and I graduated. I got married and went to seminary because God got some revelation. You know, my wife loves Christmas, and she loves to decorate our house. And this year, I don't know, because of our retirement, she went a little lighter. But we still have 15 nativity sets on display. And I captured my favorite one. Put it up on the screen there, Lynn's favorite, my favorite one. It is the nativity set from Liberia I brought back. And it is the incredible portrait that we had someone paint here at the church years ago. And to me, it captures the entire revelation. The revelation of the nativity, which is Jesus' birth. But it also captures the narrative that Jesus was born to save. He was born to be the Savior of the world. He's my Savior. He wants to be your Savior so that you can know the real joy of Christmas. You know, I want to have a time of prayer this morning. We got a few minutes here. And I want to open up the front of the church here, the altar area. And if you want to, if you just have a heavy burden, you feel like, man, I don't have any joy in my life. There's darkness in my life. I want to receive Jesus into my life. I want to have a prayer. If anyone wants to come and pray, you can pray in your seat. You can kneel down at your seat. Maybe you want to just kneel and pray and say, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for helping me when I failed and giving me a new beginning and a new direction. And then let that saturate over your heart and it'll become some joy. I'm still joyful about passing sociological theory. It was a miracle. God wants to do a miracle in your life. It may not be that, but it'll be something. So let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for entering into our world as a baby in a cradle. And Lord Jesus, thank you for going to the cross at the age of 33. You were crucified to pay the penalty for all of our sins. You were buried in a tomb, and on the third day you rose again and were given a crown at the right hand of the Father. And right now, Lord Jesus, you're interceding for your people. So if there's someone listening today that needs to just pay attention to the warning light, it's been blinking and blinking and blinking, that right now we confess that sin to you. We confess that situation to you. And we receive right now in the name of Jesus, forgiveness. Because whatever is blinking in our life was paid for on the cross. Whatever is blinking in our life was defeated at the empty tomb. So Lord, do a mighty work in us today and give us joy. Take away the darkness, take away the despair, take away the shame, take away the bondage, take away the addiction, and set us free. And Lord, thank you for this new joy that will come into our hearts and lives, and we can worship you with joy. We can have the ultimate Christmas experience with you. So Lord, bless us now and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Let us worship you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to have a song, and it sings about love coming down. Time stood still and love came down. Let that saturate over you. And if you're still struggling with something, I'm going to step down here and I'll be here to pray with you. God is working in our world. He's never stopped working in our world. And he wants to work in you today. Let the Lord speak to you today as we worship together.